But we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an occasion where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epher Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
Precious Holy Spirit, Spirit of wisdom, take hold of our vocal cords. Give expressions to your counsel. And let every single vessel you use to bring perspective to the respective questions of your people, I pray that they will be solely under your influence. And you will bless us in no little way. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Does anybody want to react to that before? Anybody? Okay. How does one know the purpose for his or her existence? Yes, God reveals. But how do you know? Do you get visions, convictions, prophecies? How? Very quickly. The purpose for our existence is different from the way we have discovered, or the way we have decided, or the way we have understood to make life work. Our brother was sharing at the course of his exaltation. He told us very clearly that there is a difference between your job and your work. Your job is what you do to be paid. Your work is the reason why you have life. Two different things. The person's question is, how do you know the reason why you have life? Right? And I want to add to that person's question, just in case there's somebody sitting down that does not see the importance of this question. Scripture says, I shall not die but live, for just one reason alone, to declare the work of the Lord. So the work they sent you to do, if you have not done it, it's only on that ground that scripture is your own. You can't be living in sin, gratifying yourself and saying, I shall not die. Which work do you want to declare? There's a person that sent you. It is when death comes to snatch your soul, you remind death that I have not fulfilled why they sent me. And the person who sent me is superior to you. So I shall not die but live, so that I can carry out the work of the person who sent me. So your purpose is tied to your life. Your existence is tied to purpose. This is how important the question is. So pay attention, I beg us. You know the work God sent you to the earth to do by using one of these three parameters. Number one, the area of your greatest body. God allows your purpose to flow into time with you by putting a burden in your soul about things other men may be okay with. But for some reason, you find out for your own sake, you have an unusual body to see that this thing is corrected. You see, for example, you go by hospitals, you see obituaries on the wall. Many of you, to be honest, the best that can come out from your mouth is, hey, people are even crying. They are in pain because they lost a loved one. You say, person don't die, we'll not go hear word again. It's not your purpose, that's why. The area of your body is a strong indication of why you are here. And the body will be eating you up. Scripture says, the zeal of the house of the Lord has consumed me. Your purpose is the reason, is that thing you want to do. And even though they don't pay you for, you are happy doing it. You will differentiate your job from your work very soon. Your work will give you joy. Your job will give you money. But you are truly blessed if your work also can give you money. The work God sent you to do. Number one, the area of your greatest body. For some of you, you hate it when you see needy people. There is something about you and wealth and prosperity. The reason why these things we talk about is very important, because many people think your purpose with God is not truly serious until you end up on a mic. Huh? End up holding a mic. A sister told me, God told her she was going to marry a serious man of God, a person who is his child. But that any time she sees the brother, it does not hold a mic in the spirit. A mic in the spirit again. Physical mics are not even enough again. Doesn't hold any mic in the spirit. It's only in immortality we'll find out. By the resurrection, after this life, when God begins to put men in cadres, you may find out that a man on the pulpit for 20 years didn't measure up to a businessman whose only work was to support the kingdom with finance and hold on to the purity of his heart. Your reward at the end of life will not be for doing work. Your reward will be for doing the work you were sent to do. So if you did another person's work, you will not count it for your own life. Do you understand what I mean? Your reward is not for work. Everybody is doing something. That's why for you is to do the work of he that sent you. Jesus says, I must do the work of he that sent me, not sent us. Your work. So you may even arrive at a pedestal where men are clapping for you and say, a life well spent. Maybe you shook things in the academic world. Or maybe what you were sent for was to bring perspective to the word of God in a rural area. To be one lowly missionary somewhere. Number one, the body in your spirit. That body will be with you until you die. Is that body that makes men regret at the end of their life? Is the body, is this them versus the body speaking to them, that makes men think they have wasted their life when they begin to check what they have done with their life at the end of their years? Is the body that is telling you that this is what we were supposed to do? The body of a man. Many of us, we lost touch with our bodies, and it's still there with you. You ignore it because other parts may look more attractive, but your reward is in obeying the will of he that sent you. So number one, body. You carry bodies. And I know, I am persuaded, God furnished us with bodies in a way that what you carry is not what I carry. So you are bothered about things I seem to be careless about. That's why God calls it the body of Christ. Everybody is playing one part or the other. Me, I just want people to be filled with the Holy Ghost and live a victorious life and end up in the coast of eternity, in the celestial city. You are thinking about what would they eat now? Do you get what I'm saying? There is a person God put that kind of body in. Look for your own body. Your reward is in carrying out your own task. Can I share something with us? If you focus on these things I share, and God truly aligns your feet with your body, even in time, God will reward you. In time. The body. But bodies are only interpreted through the lens of the spirit. You cannot say, I feel like, because you feel like doing many things at the course of your life. I've given money to a person who went to smoke with my money before, and he paid me. That was the last time I gave out of emotions. So we began to discern, to bless. Just in case you are in the area where you are not sent, you just say you feel like doing a good work. Eh? You may end up giving money that will be used to buy a bullet, that will be used in a crisis, that will kill a man of God. And when they trace... That's why I'm saying the area of your impact is what you are saying to do. You are not to be doing a general, this is what is raining. Everybody is a philanthropist. You now go and carry money and give. The money now end up in the hand of a malam. They now put bullets for smack. When they trace who is supporting this thing, you know, they will raise dangerous prayers in church. Anybody sponsoring them, let their account dry. Your account is at stake. Because you are the one. And you thought you carried the body. Stay in your paths. Stay in the ordination God put in your soul. I can share this with you just to cap my point I'm building. Even if nobody ever preaches to you, there is some imprinted doctrines in your soul that you know what is right and what is wrong. Before you give your life to Christ, there are things you do and your heart will trouble you. It's not like you even had Jesus yet. Even sinners has conscience. There is a spirit in you that came furnished to the word of God. He has perspective of God's will on every matter. That's where to draw your purpose from the core of your spirit. That's where your body is. Your body is not in your flesh. Your flesh is a selfish person. You draw your body. Any time you are in the presence, when the flesh dematerializes, What becomes the posture of your spirit? You will pick your burden from there. For me, my burden is anytime I see afflicted people, anytime I see people that their eyes has been blinded, and God showed them the way and say, come out of the prison houses. If I hear demons screaming anytime, so you don't know how excited I am. The sound of demons in pain, oh my, is joy. Sometimes in the pain, they will threaten me and say, I'll kill you. But I know Satan does not operate like God. Satan does not tell you what he wants to do before he does it. If Satan ever has to threaten you, it's because he's trying to make you scared. Satan does not give you warning. Satan just does it and surprises. So they call him the thief. The thief visits without your knowing. The thief comes. Just in case you are trapped in that kind of moment and a spirit is warning you and saying, I will remove. Don't know that the idea is there. Yesterday, a heated deliverance session happened outside. You guys didn't even know about that version. The deliverance got to a level where two rival spirits began to tell themselves that I'll finish you. That is a kingdom divided against itself. I told us once that there is no love in the kingdom of darkness. You guys thought I was cooking it up. You saw it plainly yesterday. You played. How many of you were there in that particular drama? There's no. The only reason why they have to work together is because they corporately hate God. So my enemy and your enemy is the same enemy. Then we just have to work together to challenge that enemy. But once we are through with that enemy, we will come back to face ourselves. The agenda of God is their corporate resistance. So if it's to stop God's work, well, let's work together. But the day that thing has been stopped, all hell break loose. Number one, the body and your spirit. Number two, your abilities. You cannot do everything. Believe me, there are things you are good at. There are things they furnish you with an unfair advantage in. You just found out that if it's this aspect, I am good. And then there are other areas you are giving years to it, yet you cannot catch up with somebody who that is his position. There are people who came, follow come, an affinity for music. You have been learning guitar for 5 years. It's still not an indication to you that, oh God, relax. Hey, look for your place and stay there. Now you say you are playing a song. We kept our ears carefully to hear. You say it's bless the Lord, oh my soul, you are playing. And for 10 minutes, we don't know what you are playing yet. You will not stop giving your name for special numbers. Look for your place. Stay there. There are many people that are struggling in things that they have no business with. It's because you are trying to fit into a mold that is not your own. Unfortunately, one of the errors that brings men into this is people want to be like their mentors and the people that they are admiring. Just because you are seeing somebody that is your mentor, you love his way of life, his perspective of things, now you want to become a copy of the person. While you are doing that, you are forgetting your own natural strengths. The things that was your own. Such as you have. And you can only give what you have. It's such as I have that I give. Your areas of strength. Some of you, let me tell you one truth. If they give you a mic and you hold a mic and you are talking, people will be sleeping. But if you turn that thing that you are saying into a book, people will read it and cry. It shows you. The idea is everybody has strength. While you are talking, there are ladies that they cannot tell their spouse how they feel. So they will wait for the spouse to leave the house. Then they will write that thing that they want to tell him as a text message and send it to him. They found out that if only you know what you carry, that text message you are doing, that ministry you are doing with your husband is a book. You are a writer. You can express. I'm not joking, you know. You can communicate the core of your soul via words. When you carry a pen and a paper, the inspiration that flows, you can explain how you are feeling. But now you are in front of a human being and you don't know what to say. Why don't you find your place and stay there? Drama will happen in the house since morning. The woman will say nothing. What's wrong? Nothing. Everything is fine. Then you step out of the house and a text message is following you. The text message is, finally, let me explain everything. She's working in her office. can write. That's how you can go through a pain and words cannot communicate it. Then you carry your paper and your biro. Somebody wants to commit suicide in the next 3 years in Europe, and your material will just, when God is looking for his deliverance, he will just go and carry that thing you wrote, because you trapped your soul inside. You found a way to capture the same thing and communicated it through words. And these things are real. Many of us are trying to use formulas that are not our strength. Look for your place. Stay in it. Number three, the most repeated areas of your opportunities. The most repeated areas of your opportunities is an indication. It's an indication. And opportunities don't come as advantages. They come as challenges. That is the mode of opportunity. Every opportunity presents itself as a challenge. Your ability to solve that challenge is your way to the throne. Pharaoh must have a need. You must be able to solve the need. What was Joseph's promotion was a disadvantage for Pharaoh. And you solve it. The areas of your repeated opportunities. So challenges like, Madam, I really don't know, my marriage is failing. Before you finish talking this one of your friends in Ebonyi State is calling you and saying, Tai, I don't understand, my husband had these 2 days. And mind you did not tell anybody that you are into any ministry of marriage counseling. You find out that there is a peculiar case, a peculiar kind of challenges that God allows that men throw at you. He is looking at you from the dimension of who he knows you are. And he's hoping that those challenges will provoke the real you out. In your attempt to help them, you will walk into your path. You know, you were doing trial and error before, in, out. Then somebody brought a real challenge. You never know that you can really cut with scissors until the day you carry a scissors. And then you start trying. Then you find out that although somebody's cutting is haphazard, yours is coming out very clean. It's challenges that reveal your potentials. Anything for the boys? So since morning, I never trouble. Some of you people continue to send you their account number at the end of every month. If whether you are working or you are not working, they believe that their bread is in your hand. It's an identification. I'm telling you the truth. They are identifying you by divine. When they were praying, some of them sent that need request to you based on the leading of God. And when God is looking at you, God is not looking at you from the perspective of time. Is seeing you from immortal perspective. So if God says you are a rich man, whether that prophecy has happened or not yet, God will be treating you already as who he sees you. So you are the only one saying, but why are these people? He's showing you who you are. You are sick and people are coming to ask you to pray for them for healing. Some of you are already angry that people have been so sick to your life. You have even planned some message that you are going to preach about greed, the value of honor. And people come around you. Their spirit is discerning your spirit. When they come around you, they are broken. When they come around you, they know this is Bethel. This is my place of bread. My bread is with this person. But you, because of your lack of discernment, you have accept who you are. When they say, who I be? Will be boys for where you they will. Don't join them and talk yourself down too. Accept it. You are my boys. May God make it that way. They will see you and say, senior man. Hey, Kai. Baba, see the real men here. They are hoping that you too, you will now say, for where you they. No, for God, for what? Never. I will make sure you will regret bringing yourself down, because you thought I would follow you to bring myself down. You are joking. You will never see me there with you. I saw two young men. They greeted themselves and said, chairman, this. Then the greeting now is like this. Then they now did like, for what now? See, I celebrate you. Then, since you are standing as a person did like this, you need to do something that is more than this, like this. So you now go on your knee. Then the person now like, Then at the end, you now start tending into a demonic utterance. the idea under you with your own mouth. This is what you said about your destiny. So now when you chop finish, we will be trouble. And tomorrow you are in an all night asking for prosperity. You closed your destiny with your mouth. You wonder why you are serving men throughout your life now. Where the mistake started from was when people came discerning who you are. And the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. They came, they discern your spirit. Your spirit compelled them to make demand based on who he described himself to be. So they say, please, I don't know if you can help me. And the temptation in the physical realm is to downplay yourself immediately. You know how many people have what to give, but just because they don't want to give, they have to lie and curse themselves so that they will not give. Person say, please, I'm in serious challenge. Then you say, if I tell you my challenge, you pass your own. You have opened a door with your mouth. It's easy, very simple. Let's get the money I have is budgeted. It's okay. I don't have money to give you. It's okay. It's not like I don't have money. The one I have is not for you. Same time, nothing for my bank account said. You'll be amazed. That nothing you said is your experience for the next few months. I've shared the three areas, right? Whoever asks the question, let's take a census. Are we okay with this level of explanation? Huh? Draw the reference from these three reference points, and you cannot miss it. You will arrive at who you are. The work of he that sent you. That one is different from your job. So let us open our eyes to. Let's celebrate Jesus. If we go at this pace, we will not finish this first one. Yes, sir.
Sorry, I just want to make just one comment. Thank you for that explanation. I want to say that to add to what Pastor said, one of the ways that God makes you see the areas which your purpose is in your experience. For example, if you are an orphan child, you lost your parents. Because of your experience in life, anytime you see orphans, you feel you want to help them. You understand. Or somebody, maybe a lady who marries and loves her husband. There's no any other person to counsel women who love their husband like that woman because of what she experienced. The guy who got into drugs and it almost killed him and God delivered him. When he meets drug addicts, there's a way he will talk to them. They will get him. So the areas of your experience, most especially your painful experience, is bringing you to a place where you have a test of it so that you can reach out to other people. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Please celebrate him. I think he buttressed the point where we made about your consistent areas of opportunities, and it will always come as challenges, right? The challenges you face is your opportunity. Let's thank God again for his wisdom. Here he says, if I have discovered the field I was called to serve God in, but I do not have the strength for physical work, how does the finance come? How do I know if I was called by God? How do I know what field I was called into? The table is open for everybody. It says, if I have discovered the field I was called to serve God in, but I do not have the strength for physical work, how does the finance come? Then, two, it says, how do I know if I was called by God? How do I know what field I was called into? I think it's in line with the things we shared just now. Except for the part of finance part, right? Because he said, if his own case is that, he says he doesn't have strength for physical work. Alright. To be honest, that's what we're talking about earlier on when we talked about your job, what you do, your value you exchange for rewards. That's your job. Your work is why you were created, why you are here. Now the person says, I have found why I am here. And my only challenge now is, I've not been able to understand the value that I will give to receive a reward. To amaze you to know that the truth is, as much as work is concerned, the concept of work is evolving gradually. Work is gradually leaving physical labor and strength and stress and sweat into soft work. There are skills that don't require much hardship, much use of strength. There are skills that are absolutely intellectually based. And I can tell you one truth, those skills pay better than even the manual labor. So just in case your challenge is physical strength, and you don't seem to have the strength it takes to lift the gate like Samson, there's another rating of strength. That's the one Solomon has. It's called wisdom. And Samson was not even closely as rich as Solomon. Soft work. Wisdom. Scripture says you will hear a voice from behind you, giving you directions and opportunities. There will also be skills, to be honest. There will be skills God will give you just to help you raise the opportunities that you need for that season. Currently, we believe so much that nobody should be hoping or counting on somebody just to engage them and give them something for it. You can start up your own thing. You can own your own business. We have very successful business owners in our midst, seated here. I've been to some of their places. I've seen how they started, and I've seen how they are increasing with time. You could have sat down quietly, still saying we are trusting God, or you have set your own things in motion. I speak of people who were looking for jobs before, but now they are employers. I went there the other day and I found out he had engaged the services of other people. And he too now give somebody an allotment at the end of the month. Why aim? Why aim for rewards when you can become the rewarder? When you can become the person who is making the whole system work in the first place? Look for your area of strength, like I said. Build value around your area of strength. For instance, I knew... is there anybody from my primary school here? I used to tell stories during break time. And people will not, they will not go for break for the sake of my stories. And all stories were lies. Stories and all of these things. My dad impacted it during that nighttime stories. And I found a way to communicate it better than I was told. I added the details that I needed, that the original person should have added. And when I presented it to my audience, it was good enough for them to sacrifice their break period. That was purpose, seeking expression. I was always about speaking to people. That was what the wiring was about, interfacing with men. Some of you are so skilled. So skilled. You learn, your gift is that what took people 5 years to learn, if you look at it like this, give them 1 month, they are recreating it already. You don't know it's a gift yet until you know how long it took some people to somebody is in that shop trying to learn that same fashion, that same sewing with you. I heard that there was one guy, the other got tired and said, they'll just let them give him a certificate, let him just go. The people who came after him, they have spent, have you ever heard of a 3 years apprentice in sewing? People came and did 6 months and they were fluent. After 3 years, they arrange a personal graduation for him and say, look, it's a quiet one in the middle of the night. There's no pride to it. No paparazzi, no snapping. And the yoga was not proud to say he's my student. So they take it. Nothing like less nervous. You don't know how skilled you are. The ability to master it, learn it. Whoever asks this question, I want to tell you that you have time. Use time wisely. Use time to create a value. It's the value that brings your reward. It's the value that brings your reward. And apart from that, apart from the whole idea of values and rewards, there are too many opportunities for you to have closed the, possibilities of financial returns in your life. There are jobs, there are business opportunities. You could start something. I just want to believe that for many of us, we already have our dream kind of financial life in our mind. There are things you can't imagine yourself. Say, for what? Me? That for what you are saying? The person you are asking to send you 2K is doing it. That 2K they sent you, they got you through that thing that you say, God forbid. And yet you are the borrower. Eh? Say slave. Say slave to the person who lends to you. So you are, although you think you are dignified, I cannot do it. Whether it's charcoal. God says, card, you can buy charcoal from this side cheap. You can buy it in bags. You can supply these people. You can give this. When you remember how your finger will be after that kind of merchandise, now say no. For what now? God forbid. I bind you. Tomorrow you say, guy, I beg, I figure 3K. How long? How long would you be looking for 3K? Huh? You can create these values. James, what did you study? Sociology. Is there any course in sociology that is about cutting and joining clothes or anything? Did you learn anything about fashion inside that sociology scheme of work? No. It is by looking for value. You did school, but school is on its own too. So today, anywhere he goes, cancel everything he has currently in Kaduna, put him any other place. His skill is with him. You say, there's one open, about it. You present your results. Skills. So guys, please. This thing you have said, that you don't have the strength for physical work. What you are looking for is not strength. You are looking for the power to get wealth. Comes as inspiration, comes as unfair advantages. It comes also as a team of people God brings around your life. The power to get wealth. That's what you need. And if you ask me, I would encourage that you don't speak of yourself in this manner anymore. You don't have the strength of physical work. There's strength. And it's not strength to be lifting heavy things. Strength for inspiration. Strength for divine direction. You shall hear a voice from behind you. Meet this person. Talk to this person. The challenge why we are disappointed is because you went to a place where God did not send you. Scripture says, if you seek, you will find. When you find, that's the only time you can knock. But we just look anything that looks like a door, you go and knock. But the progression said, seek. When you seek, you will find. Then when you knock, that door that you found will now be opened. You don't know. God send you to meet that person. It's God that prepares the heart of men to be a blessing. I think we have done justice on this. Please, I want to know if rapture will happen before the emergence of the Antichrist, or will the Antichrist begin their activities before rapture? I'm confused about this thing, sir. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, grant us wisdom and give perspective to the truth of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. About this one we just finished. Does anybody have something to add after that? Just to give it balance. Just in case I have sound too spiritual. Anybody have something to contribute to that? Before we go to this. Okay. Very quickly. Alright.
I think every work that God has given to every man is a good work. And the Bible said he has given us grace unto the work. So there is grace sufficient for any work that God has given to any man. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So it says, please, I want to know if rapture will happen before the emergence of the Antichrist, or will the Antichrist begin the activities before rapture? I'm confused about this thing, sir. Thank you so much for your sincerity. I'll give us Bible reference so that you don't think I'm making a position by myself. First of all, the rapture, the concept of the rapture we are dealing with here, it's not just the escape. Hallelujah. I want to take a reading briefly, then I will answer the question. Scripture started speaking about the end. It says, and you will hear of war and rumors of war. Matthew chapter 24, right? Matthew 24 from verse 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened or troubled, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. Remember these things we are reading. The end is not yet. After all the wars and rumors of war, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine and earthquakes in places. Earthquake is not just talking about, it's a metaphor. It's not talking about the shaking of the earth realm alone. Systems will shake. Finances will shake. Economies of nations will shake. That's an earthquake. Huh? Earthquakes in places after place. All this, verse 8, all this is but the beginning, the early pains of the bed pangs of intolerable anguish. The beginning. It's not even the end. Then they will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation. They will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You guys remember yesterday when I gave the code of the Antichrist system? 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns on the 7 heads. Anything that they associate this spiritual description to, that's the Antichrist. That's the thing you should run from. 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns on this 10, on this 7 head. Anything that seeks to network and connect the systems. I don't want to go around the controversy part now, but the controversial thing around what I'm about to say is, if I start talking about down to the coronavirus outbreak, the 5G network and all of these things, the attempt to make the world a smaller place, the attempt to make it more, to connect everything down to your BVN, down to your national identity number, your name, down to you linking it. A time will come, if they just type your name and click like this, everything about you will come. There's data collation currently. That field, because we have a data scientist, I believe, here. Very novel field. We are not in any way depicting it like it's wrong. What we are saying is, the Antichrist will use all these systems to his. It's like a banker being here and he's thinking I'm saying that bankers are evil. It would be a wrong assumption to arrive at from what I'm saying. Money will also be the strength of the Antichrist. The health systems too have been linked. Everything is being linked together. These things are very good in themselves. But I said the Antichrist, when he comes, he will seize hold of them. He will use them to his advantage. He will even use our medical facilities, the health system, all, finance, all, politics. In fact, he will ride on the seats of politics. So all the systems, the 7 spheres of power, he will dominate those mountains. And the Bible says there are 7 crowns upon the 7 heads. All this is the beginning of bedpans. Because they will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and repel and will begin to distrust and desert Christ. And they will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. Many false prophets will rise up, deceive and lead many into error. And the love of great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. But he who endures to the end, somebody says the end. He who endures to the end will be saved. And this good news of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then will the end come. So to answer that question, will the Antichrist come after the rapture or before the rapture? The Antichrist will come before the rapture. The reign of the Antichrist has started. Just in case you are thinking there will be a helicopter approach, God will come and rescue his people, then the rest people, they say, deal with them anyhow you like. You remember that scripture says, for the sake of the elect, those days has to be shortened. If not, the elect too will fall. So it means the elect were part of the experience of the tribulation. So they had to shorten the tribulation so that the elect will not lose their faith on ground of the pain that those seasons will bring. And Jesus was telling his followers here, when you see this, not when the sinners see these things, when you are experiencing these things, know that this is the beginning of the end. So God will not come and blow a trumpet and pick his favorite people and then leave the other people to suffer. The reign of the Antichrist will start right now. It's already gaining expression. It's taking a shape that many of us we're not reading it as a finger. And a finger of a spirit that rebel against Christ. The Antichrist spirit. We're not seeing it like that yet, because what we're expecting, according to our Sunday school story that they told us in the Sunday school building, they showed some horrible things with strange instruments of affliction. They were tearing some people's back, burning some people with fire, some creatures with five hands, several eyes, and they were tricking some people for Christ. Well, leave that cartoon behind. Truth of the matter is, the reign of the Antichrist has started. How do you know the reign of the Antichrist has started? There is a system in the world currently that seeks to make spirituality, as far as it borders around Christianity, that seeks to make it a disadvantage to men. But if you want to truly be spiritual, then you will lose many things. The world has been conditioned to not favor a spiritual man. So it will take violence for a spiritual man to reign in the world. If all things go as planned, a spiritual man is in a default realm of disadvantage. They are sharing something. They say, "Ah, no, Pastor, don't." The trade, the exchange of the souls of men is happening now already. There are people that are yielding their souls just to enter some small, and the conditions is your soul. The reign of the Antichrist has started. So guys, it's not something that will happen after the rapture. The rapture is the time where God shows up and display his might on a global stage, where he, for the sake of the elect, those whose name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that they don't, the frustration and the pain can be unbearable. So they shorten those days because of them. Because of these ones, they shorten it. And I pray that we are one of those elects. That's why we stand very sure when we propose that the world is not going to get better. This is the beginning of sorrow. The only place of safety now is to hide under the shadow of the Almighty. Because many things will come. In fact, your least worry is now. Wait until Apollyon has been released. When Abaddon has gained entrance into the Ethereum, and he comes with his host of demonic legion, then you will see the wickedness on the globe. It will not be fathomable. But for now, Pastor Emma was sharing yesterday, said in those days, during heat season, they could just put a bed in front of the house. Can even sleep and forget that you are outside. Life is that safe. Today, you lock your door with padlock. You were careful. Your carefulness is not enough. The hunger for wickedness has reached a level where your door. Let's say you slept outside, and then they now came and catch you and kidnap you. They can even be blaming you and say, you for lock your door. You're the one that caused this thing. But now, you are careful. But the hunger for wickedness has gotten to a level where your caution is not a safety tip again. And iniquity will abound, scripture says. The love of men is a warning for his people. Their first love, they will abandon it. So the Antichrist is not going to come after the rapture. The Antichrist will reign after the rapture, but he will come before the rapture. Don't forget my word, reign. The reign of the Antichrist is a time where they give him utmost authority over the earth realm. is that one that happens after God has withdrawn his people momentarily. That's the one you are. I think that's what we have been misunderstanding around it. Is that one that those who didn't meet the first. Just pray. Don't even wish that you want to miss it, then you now pay with your blood. That somebody say just in case he miss it, that as they that you say no, then when he die, they told you that death will run.
Guys, you want to die, then you do like this, and then they'll still trick you and you wake up.
Death will run from you. Even death was going to hide. So don't relax. Don't be preparing that you want to miss the rapture, then you now join the stream too.
It's not work. It will not work like that. So please.
And just in case what I've said has ministered fear to anybody. If you have given your life to Christ, you are born again. You are saved. Don't be scared. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's because of people like you that they will reduce the days of the suffering. Your faith will not fail you. I think I've answered that question. Right? All right. Does anybody have any other contributes? Any contribution as regarding that matter? I read from Matthew 24. You can go by yourself, read it through, you see it. It's written there. Very, very clear. No doubt. How does one faithfully serve God through another man's vision and also be faithful in following his own vision from God? Wow, that's alright. I think questions like this has caused more damage, especially as regarding the concept of purpose for a while now. The person said, how does one faithfully serve God through another man's vision and also be faithful fulfilling his own vision from God? Now, when we talk about vision, from the perspective of the current teaching that we seem to have a soft spot for, we have decided to perceive vision as your aspiration, your ambition, your pursuit. It's a vision according to God's own word. Vision is God's assignment for your life. That's your vision. And if you are saying, how does one faithfully serve God through another man's vision? You would have found out that men don't have vision. It's God that gives men vision. So in serving in that vision, you are serving God. And just in case you have your own body that God has put in your soul, you will find out, to be honest, see, is these things that eventually resulted, this question that is here, this is the root behind denominations. This, our own destiny, my own destiny. God said I should go and start my own. If God gives you a vision, that vision, only you cannot carry it out. So inside his wisdom, he had factored other people who are the ones to bring that vision to pass. So you may, I think your only work probably might just be to herald the vision, to say, thus says the Lord. Then men, there are people who carry the vision and run with it. And at the end of the day, they do not ascribe that vision to a man. They ascribe the vision to everybody whose contribution, whose effort was responsible. And if anyone does not show up that was sent to be a part of that work, you will see the space of his absence. When an acaso started, I use this as an illustration now. We started in a one room. We were doing prayer every Tuesday inside Sister Promise's room. The room was so small that the number of shoes she had taken one quarter of the room already. Do you remember? The shoes would be it's like three layers of shoes. Like, and imagine like over 10 people. You see now that you are praying, you are stretching your leg and praying. Then can't stretch anything. Don't look for a spot as you stay like this. Is that place you are fit into for the prayer meeting? But you know what God told us? We were foolish enough to accept it, even when it was a one-room matter. In that one room, we will come and pray. After we'll pray and leave, some workers of iniquity will come and use the same room. And we'll see some strange people. Imagine as you are praying, then some people are waiting by the door and just waiting for you to finish so that then. But inside that one room, inside that 10-7 people who were meeting to pray, all of you was already numbered in by God. And your arrival is only a matter of time. It's as I'm speaking right now. Inside them, everybody who would come and play one role or the other. I can tell you one truth. Scripture says, no man cometh to the Father except the Father draws him near. It's not in you to orchestrate any spiritual thing. It's God that starts the movement. He's the one that will lead you to himself. Then, he wants to also reward you for your faithfulness. So guys, the same way you put yourself into the work God has given to another, and you are thinking that is this person's work I'm doing, is that kind of mentality, you will not see yourself in that vision. If you are seeing it as this person's work, you will never see yourself in that vision. For instance, I use the case of Apostle Arome Osai and Apostle Oropo Michael. You look at the ministry carefully, you will find out that Oropo Michael is working in his calling, in his own calling, under the umbrella of what you now will call the vision of Apostle Arome Osai. And if Oropo Michael looked at this thing from your own perspective, what he would have started with is his own church. He said, I have been called. God has given me the word. Then he runs. But his place is with Arome. And so his fame and his rising, what took other men several years to get to, he stood on the shoulder of Apostle Arome. That became his starting point. Vision. Don't think that you will help a person. You are not helping. It's the work of God. The work God gave to be done. And he subscribed you to be a part of it. Many of you, your own calling comes inside doing that thing that you thought you were doing for another. But it was not for another. It was your own work you are doing. And your own work will speak. So when people bless Oropo now, they are not saying, sorry, daddy, we don't know if we can bless Oropo. No. People come and treat him as a servant of God that he is by himself. I even believe recently that his invitations outweighs that of his father currently. You say that it is Apostle Arome's vision. But look at the people that are produced on their own visions are speaking. It's with this kind of frame of mind. You can never give your all to something that is not your own. And when you now start what you call your own, you will never find a faithful man. Because your heart condition, God cannot be mocked. It's what you sow. That's what you reap. So the day you now say, God has spoken. The kind of people that will come, they will say, just say you are the one that speaks. No, God is your thing. Because you always knew, in your mind, you are saying, let me go and just help this person to just preach. It's God's work. The proof that it's God's work. The work will not end when the person you are calling the visionary die. Do you understand? It will continue. So it has left the hand of that person that you think is controlling. And if you check it very well, there are many people that make a ministry work. Unfortunately, most of them are not on the stage. There are many people doing the real background work. Once in a while, a man of God comes with a mic and you think he's the brain behind it, but he's not. There are people who make sure that seat is there before you came and sat down. There are people that are responsible for the light, that the man of God is even holding the mic. There's somebody that makes sure that there will be light for this mic to work. And everybody is contributing their quota. And it's in God's eye. This is what the ministry is. But everybody came together to give perspective to his spirit in that territory. That's ministry. Don't be thinking my vision and the other person's vision. If you are truly faithful in serving, you will find your own vision in service. There is no master outside the curriculum of servanthood. You serve to become a master. That's how it works. I think I've answered this. When you pray for others, God answers. But when it comes to personal issues, God becomes silent. What is the cause of such silences? I think it's God. You should ask this question. You know, this question seems like it is directed at God. And I will not be foolish to attempt to take this. He says, when you pray for others, God answers. But when it comes to personal issues, God becomes silent. What is the cause of such silences? You know, I'm not the one that was silent. So if I attempt to say this is why he's silent, what I'll be doing is I'll be giving my own perspective of a maybe. And I think God has his custom dealing with you. He has his reasons why your personal issues does not require urgency with him. And I think you should inquire of him. Inquire. Yes, please.
Sorry, I just wanted to make a comment. You know, when we were talking this morning, I said that the assignment of God for your life is more than you. You understand? The work that God gives you is more than you yourself. So, I've known men of God who pray for people for the fruit of the womb, but they don't have children. You understand? So, because the call is more than you, it's not all about you. Is it not God's work? Is it not him that will decide what he wants to use to do through you? So is it because you are serving him that he must? And secondly, again, this is what I've learned in life. There are times that God leaves certain things in your life. I just want you to imagine a world where there's no any problem. You think anybody will serve God? A world where your life, there's no issue. So many of us will not need God. So there's always something God will need to make you know that he's God. Do you understand? So it's more than you. It's not all about you. It's all about him. There are cripples who pray for other cripples to rise up. So why can't they pray for themselves? So it's more than you. The call of God for your life is more than you.
Let's celebrate man of God. Pray for others, God answer. I pray for myself, it's quiet. What is the meaning of this silence? What is the reason?
Well, like I said, I think it's the beginning of another walk with God for you. It will teach you selflessness. It could minister to you actually why God needed you to become. It could just be that you are. I'll not answer this thing. Yes.
Say you should learn to know that silence is the voice. That you should understand when God is listening.
As a philosopher, please let's celebrate God for him. Yes, that God's silence to his reply. God, that silence is an answer. God, can I get a standing mirror? Maybe that silence is you. It probably means that you have not started talking yet. Maybe when you now talk the thing that you know. You know, God says he will grant us our desires according to his will. It's your desire, but if his will is not factored into that desire does not count for anything according to his will. It could just be that you are an intercessor, that you are supposed to be standing the gap for people, but your prayer has been so major on yourself. So for now, he's putting you on a fast. Anytime you start talking about yourself, you block his ear. Yes, Pastor Ono has something to say about it.
Hallelujah. Sorry to say, to come at this point. When we're talking about purpose and how can you serve in another man's visions according to how the question has been put, do you know that the starting point of God, before God fathered every one of us to existence, there are ways that God have already reprogrammed everyone's, as Apostle have said. So there are son of ox that is not, you are not meant to be a pioneer, but you are meant to be a supporter. And in that's where you find your purpose in life. And that is how you feel that, yes, God is doing something in your life. I came to understand that right from the beginning, I have said it, I never one day dream or having a vision that I'll be somebody that will minister or do anything as a man of God. I have my own plan, and strategically, by the mercy of God, I have my own ways. But it was that time that I want to launch into the manifestation of what I proposed for myself, that everything go haywire. And I discovered that at the point, it was my 500 level, and began to pray to God, Lord, whatsoever and anywhere that you want me, I'm ready. If you want me to do this, I'm doing that. That was where the purpose of God for my life was with you. And when I came to Kaduna for an IT 2015, that was how the visions of an account I saw, and I clicked into it. And from then, God has been so faithful, and I finished school, I came back, and we still continue, and there is joy in it. There are times that there are other opportunities that came. After being a pastor under Dunamis, I worked with other Dunamis. We are the one that pioneered the Dunamis center in Zaria. I was one of the key head of the planting of Dunamis Zaria. But unfortunately, that was not where God wanted me to serve. In Methodist Church, I did a lot to the extent that they want to send me to reverend school, but that was not where God planned for me. So in that, when I came to Anakazo, I discovered that this is where God wanted me to serve. And I am serving him faithfully. And I discovered that indeed, I am seeing my horizons expanding. And anything that I'm doing, there are a lot of times that they called me, come and pray for this, come and be this. And any day that I went out to pray for anybody, as I come back, I always meet apostle. This is, why am I doing that? Because that is where God called me to submit to. And anywhere I'm going, I have an assurance that he's backing me up. And when I come, I have to come and submit. Table the report that this is where I went and this is what I do. So that in case of anything, somebody will ask, where did you go to? He can be able to have a word to speak for my behalf that I did this. So anytime that God puts a bleeding in your heart to serve, it's not that you are a servant or you is it that you are inferiority. No, God have already in his eternity programmed everything, and everybody will find our place. So anywhere that God put you to serve, serve faithfully, and you see the reward of the service.
Celebrate God's servant. There's a scripture here I want us to see. Luke chapter 16, verse 12. It says, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Pastor Uno is it's a blessing to us. Pastor Uno is faithful. Pastor Uno is an example. In fact, he's the one that qualifies to talk on this matter. That's why when he says he wants to speak, he might have no choice. Pastor Uno is like the APOA of this work. He has his differences with me from time to time. Things he prepared would have done this way. But if the word has come and said, this is what we do, we just put everything aside and pursue it. Sometimes when you find people who are so self-centered, just me, myself, and I, just trying to use up things, prove a point. I am the one that is ahead of this. See, you will not last in systems like that. And I want you to know, it's God that promotes men. You can say you are in level 5, and the result of level 5 will not be seen in your life. It's God that promotes men. And God only uses faithfulness as the basis to promote men. So please, I think that's enough for as regards the doctrine of grace movement. How do you make young believers to know the place of maintaining purity and righteousness for your spiritual growth? Just one solution I recommend at all times. Just get people filled with the Holy Spirit and teach them to live by the instruction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not let you to abuse grace. I know sometimes we think it's the teaching that we receive that is molding us, but actions are powered by spirit beings. The Bible says the flesh profited nothing. It is the spirit that quickened it. Your actions are quickened from the spirit realm. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, the result, he will display his character called holiness through that body. He's called Holy Spirit, the spirit of purity. It's just that for most times, we're trying to arrive at holiness in the arm of the flesh. We're trying to give people length of skirt, size of trouser, earrings and all that, hair tie and all these things. So they now think that's holiness, and then it's now hard to to achieve a spiritual result from the tangent of the flesh. So it is supposed to be a product of a person that is in you, the spirit of purity, holiness. So if you get people filled with the Holy Ghost, normally they will not abuse grace. Because if they want to take a step to the left or to the right, there is a spirit of truth that continues to maintain to them. If you want to base people's spiritual progress by teachings alone, the teachings we give, they don't have the stature enough. Even Jesus wanted to teach one day and he looked at the audience. He says, I have so many things to say unto you, but you can't get them. How be it when the spirit of truth is come? So your survival was tied to that spirit. Your teaching was tied to the spirit. Not about any lecture per se. So in case you find out that you are trying to teach young believers and about the balance of truth, purity and grace, just get them filled with the Holy Spirit. And allow the Holy Spirit. The Bible says when he comes, he shall teach you all things. All things. He is the teacher. He is the one to express the boundaries between grace and consecration. And the demands of the kingdom, the Holy Spirit. I don't want us to put so much emphasis on what we do for the people, or that there is one doctrinal exegesis you did that helped them. Get them filled with the Holy Spirit and allow him that will teach them all things, teach them. Let use of graces, or graces that has been lost due to compromises, can they be restored back, or should we ask for new ones? I like this mind that asks this question. Well, restoration is a reality in the spirit. Let me say something quickly. Just in case you have ever asked for the eye that see from God, and God gave you that grace in the spirit, and you function in it for like 3 days, then Satan now use maybe pornography or masturbation to steal it from you. Know that you don't have any right to ever show up in the throne and ever say, I want to receive eye again. As far as the throne is concerned, by the side of that gift called eye that see, your name has been marked. So what you are doing inside time, you are asking that let there be a restoration. And the Bible says, even when the thief has stolen and he is caught, he is made to return sevenfold that which was stolen. Scripture says he will restore the years that the canker worm has eaten, the palmer worm and the caterpillar. Salvation was a story of restoration. The dying on the cross was a story of restoration. God restoring man back to himself. Not creating a new species of man to abandon the failed project in Adam. Not to go and create another new system of unpolluted breed. No. Restoration was the whole journey of salvation. Restoration. So yes, you are not supposed to go and ask for new ones, because they will not answer you. That one that they gave you, your name is still on it. Even if a strange spirit has mastered it. And there's something about gifts. The giftings of the Lord, they are without repentance. God does not change his mind about you just because you made a mistake as regarding that gift. Is that the measure of your level of manifestation in that gift begins to decline by the rust of sin that enters your life. And at salvation, all you need is to ask that let this thing that was lost, let it be found. You think you lost it, but it was not missing. It's still around the atrium. Grace is don't leave the atrium. It's always here. You call it back to find expression. I think I've answered this question. Don't ask for new ones. A man claims to be a servant of God. He gives accurate prophecy. Has great understanding of God's words. And also heal the sick. Conduct deliverance. But told a sister to show him her private part for spiritual purpose. My question is, now the question is coming. How possible is that? Is he operating under God's anointing? This one does not require much talk. The scripture that I read just now, Matthew chapter 24, says false prophets will rise. Unfortunately, all the things you listed here about, he has great understanding, accurate prophecy, heal the sick, conduct deliverance. You did not mention the things that aligns a man to Zion. If you look at this person's life carefully, all these things here can be manipulated. Satan too can manifest in these dimensions. Satan can give you an accurate word for your life. If Satan speaks to you, you will sit down on the ground and say, speak, prophet. Have you been on cable television before? You know many ministries that are there. You can just have 3 hours of nonstop. There's no word of God. No preaching. Very shallow. Have you heard anything like, go deeper before? Go deeper, Papa. There's one that, as they now told him the color of his underwear, then he now lie down on the ground and started rolling. And I looked when the apostles were preaching and a lady was following them and shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, sent to declare unto us the gospel. And they looked, although what she was saying was true, but they look and discern the spirit. It's a familiar spirit. It's because you think anywhere there's a result is God. Result is not the proof of God's presence. Things can be happening, but God's presence can be void. What I'm saying, the metrics to use in these end times, the Bible says, by their fruit you will know them. Their fruit. And when the Holy Ghost enters you, one of his signatures is that he leaves the fruit of the Spirit in you. So although he healed the sick, conduct deliverance, if you check what you call deliverance there, if I probe the cases of the people who came under the hand of that anointing, their cases became worse. The spirits that were impacted on them was worse than the things that momentarily looked like it left them. I just told you already, that kingdom is a kingdom that is divided against itself, so it cannot stand. They don't have cooperation. So one Baba can give you charm to fight another sinner. You understand? So that, and the devil does not record that it's his child that you want to go and kill. He doesn't kill anybody. No love. I think we've answered this thing, but that private part ministration, it's not of God. Even if they say it's a spiritual glance, you know, there are all kinds of titles given to these things. It's a glance in the spirit. Once your private part gets involved, there's a reason why it's called private, Let's leave it like that. Nobody should be looking at a private part. Probably is probably for fertility case, and say he wants to look at the demon that is blocking the. Well, this is even the least. We have cases of people who sleep with their members, people who sleep with the within the pastors, to all kinds of depravity. Yet there's noise. There's activities going on. This is why you should be scared. This is why you should be choosing in these end times. Because you can enter a wrong place and your punishment will be because when the spirits counted the people who were in attendance that day, your name came off. How do I know if I am called to be a dependent or independent ministry? There is no independent ministry. Every ministry is only a product of another ministry. What we do today, we are helpless expressions of the graces that has bettered us. And if you listen to us, you will know our tribe. When you hear an Igala man and he say Tajan, you know where he's coming from. The other day, Makodi, we're talking about, welcome to Radio Benue. He said, wow, that's a TV man. Radio. It's supposed to be radio, understand? That's how, if you listen to a man too, you will know his tribe spiritually. You know where he's coming from. And you can't hide. So just in case you are talking about independent ministry, we are all co-laborers with somebody. Then in doing that work with the person, that's where we found our ministry. In cases where one can't connect to God due to carnalities, what should that person do to make him or herself connect? Well, I like the word connect that we're using. That connects. What you should be talking about is repentance. Don't be talking about connecting. It's repentance that bets the connection. You are only concerned that after your iniquity, you cannot connect again. What you want to do? Genuine repentance. And God knows when you are joking. You know, there are times where you want to go and cry. You plan that you will cry in this prayer. You want to pray to God, and tears must be involved. Then as you now go there, you are now trying to say some kind of things as though you are talking to a lady. Then as you are now saying, your emotions were stirring, as God came and checked your heart. While you are doing like this physically, your heart was. That's why you could not connect, because it's a matter of receptacles. It's your spirit that can seek a spirit. God is a spirit. It will take a spirit to seek him. Unfortunately, you were doing flesh business. So all of the emotions of the flesh, all those things we were doing, we could not touch the spirit. So the Bible says God is a spirit, and them that must worship him will worship him in spirit. So that if your repentance can be genuine, and the Bible says a broken and a contrite spirit, God will not despise. So just in case you find out you could not connect, you did not meet this description of a broken and a contrite spirit. Remember, not a broken flesh. The flesh cannot be broken. Maybe you are just saying, you sang that your favorite song and tears did not come again. Then you now say, God, I've lost it. Genuine repentance, brokenness. God cannot ignore brokenness. Once he sees that you truly humble yourself before him, Lord, I am very sorry. I really need you. That I am very sorry is your mouth that is speaking. God will not hear that your mouth. He comes and check your heart. Once he sees that what the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, both of them be acceptable. So you can't be saying A with your mouth, then your heart is saying Z. When God comes, he sees the disparity and says he's a hypocrite. Let your heart speak that into him, and watch how your receptacle will connect immediately. Why is it difficult for people to believe the words you speak is from God and not from flesh? Why is it difficult for people to believe that the words you speak is from God and not from flesh? Okay. To understand this person's question, the people you have been speaking to, it's a major part of your problem here. And you went to watch match with somebody. You guys went, you insulted his team, they win him, he's angry. Then you now want to be a prophet to the person suddenly. No, he knows that, look, we are together, just look, go on this. They scored his team, you shouted goal, and now you are telling the person, God said I should tell you. You guys, you gisted together, talked about all kinds of silly things. You had conversations about immoral things with them, talk dirty things on your lips. You think that person will take that leap to be a theater God can use to display his counsel? No. Number two, the people you are speaking to. The prophet has no honor in his home. There are many people who are so familiar to you that they don't think God, it is you. No. I have a guy. I mean, stop. Just stop trying to prove to them that you're a man of God. Just focus. See, abandon that to your quest. And some of you, because of that, you now told them that if I be a man of God, watch it. Even Jesus could not do much signs and wonders because of their unbelief. That's why you keep giving them harsh prophecies and nothing comes to pass. Because their unbelief, it killed the prophetic accuracy. In case this person is speaking here, in case they have ever said, so if they leave you, you be a man of God, you are not alone. It's the people you are speaking to. That's why. How can you really submit under fatherhood? What do you do if your father is too busy for you? What is the difference between fatherhood and mentorship? Is there any difference between an intercessor, a watcher, and a gatekeeper? If there is, what? Man. It's a series, this person. It's a series. How can you really submit under fatherhood? Well, you choose who you know that you have drunk and you have received perspective about God's words, and your spirit is at peace every time God's word comes. You know, there are places the person is talking and you are trying to say but you say but you now say but. That but in your mind, that cannot be your father. There's something inside you. There's your posture and an inclination of your heart towards the person that feels you can shed more light on these things. Have you ever been in a place the person is speaking and you are correcting his tenses? Just saying. Or the person is speaking and you are saying, "Ta, if I'm the one with this mic, do you hear him?" That's not your. And in case you now, because of people are submitting, you now go and join them and submit to that kind of person. Eh? You will find out you'll be struggling, because always by your posture, it will make that the flow of submission will not be well. So the idea behind this thing of submission of fatherhood, the opinion that it's not a father that picks a son, it's a son that picks his father. Physically, you don't choose who your father is, but spiritually, you have the right to pick who you submit yourself to. A man comes and says, "Follow me," and you say no, he's still not your father. Not because he says "follow me" that makes him your father. It is your ability to accept this man. It's who you choose. That's who you follow. Do your mass very well. Think of the persons that has blessed you and the persons that you know that you tremble at the word of God at their lips, and you are ready. You are ready to submit. That's how you go about the issue of fatherhood. This person led me to Christ. There are people that can lead you to Christ and then backslide. I have friends like that. Now they are in the world, and you cannot call them your spiritual father. You understand where the problem is? That you pointed your spiritual father in a dear parlor. He says, I can't help it. He's the one. It's not true. You can choose. He cracked a joke with one of my friends. The person who led him to Christ. If we point the person today, you will laugh. He has gone. Just in case for you, you feel that you don't have a father because you have forgotten the person who led you to Christ, and that you have been trying to remember the name of the person but you have forgotten, so you will be helpless to be an orphan for you. Just know that you can choose. And just in case you are wrong, you can choose again. I am serious on these things. Just in case you choose and God calls that man home, then you now say, "I remain faithful." The immortal does not count that as faithfulness. You can choose. It's your will. It's you. In fact, if you go by the adjournment of scriptures, they say, "Call no man your father except God in heaven." The words of Jesus written in red. This is why you will never hear this lips of mine call anybody my son. Never. Till Jesus will come. But I can call people my father. But to make the mistake, I'm amazed when I see young people calling people who are older than them. One of my sons in the Lord the other day was like, "Jesus Christ, your son?" What I have just said is a personal dealing, so don't take it as a doctrine. And don't undermine people who are calling people their sons. Huh? Me is my own personal operating system with God. That I don't have the liver to call somebody a son in my heart. But I know those who are behaving as sons. If I see your behavior, I know. And I know those who we can work with. But it's just that it's hard. If you have ever heard from the lips of Apostle Joshua Selman ever introduce anybody as his son, be bold enough to lift to every one of your fingers. Just lift it. All through. But at some point in school of ministry, the recurring question was, why do we call you father and you don't give us the opportunity to call us sons back? Says he was not wired like that. But I know my sons. That's his submission. I know them when I see them. I know them when I see their reaction. But this whole concept of how do you do if your father is too busy for you? What makes that person your father is the fact that, number one, God gives them the word for you per time. What you call busy, be careful, because sometimes what you may be looking for is audience. and physical interaction and betting. And God will bypass that whole long talk and go and show the person your problem. And once in a while, the person calls you and address those matters. So be careful in this. Pay attention to this. If you leave some people, they want to be in my parlor every day. And the day, every day, they will come and say, last night, when I was sleeping, and I saw two rats. And one now passed, the other now won me. What is that? You are abusing the whole thing. For people who I have this arrangement with, that I know they submit to me personally, I meet with everybody who submit with me, especially those outside Kaduna State. I have contact with them over cyberspace once every month. Once every month. I give them their dates. And you cannot be calling somebody your father that you are not open to, and you are not truly very free around. You come and you are saying that I was sleeping the other day and God opened my eyes. Yeah. You are not speaking to your father. When you come for that kind of time, it's time to humble yourself. Just talk about your problems. Let solution come. Just in case the person is too busy for you, and even spiritually, there is drought. Things are happening in your life and the person is not connecting to it, and you are trying to see the person and the person is not giving you attention. It might be that you have made a mistake, and it might be that you followed a crowd. A lot of us say, my spiritual father is alcoholics. My spiritual father is that the Oedipo. You have never seen that the Oedipo in your life before. He does not even know that you exist. Just say, but that's my father. Then you have the right to write a question like this and say he's too busy for you. Is he supposed to? You say that the nature is my father. Everybody has his allotment along the path of the people God connects you to. Don't be foolish. Don't act like foolish people. You bypass protocols, skip a generation. You are going to run with people who are eons of time ahead. They don't even know whether you exist, and you say it's your father, and you are complaining that he is too busy. Is he not supposed to be busy? Just because there's somebody around your territory, God is honoring the person. You are seeing it like this. You can attest to the foundation of the spirit with the person and the track record. But arrogance will not let you. Yeah, I can't submit to anybody in Kaduna. Now your spiritual father is in Lagos and you are complaining. It could be that he's one of your friends. You guys grew up together. But now, the investment of Zion in his life, it compels that you find coordinates through him. Or your pride will not let you. And why fathers become busy for sons? Let me tell you one truth. Men are not busy. It's just that they choose their priorities. And you are not a priority. When you are a fake person, nobody wants to do any lighting with you. Come around, you are not saying the truth, just cracking jokes here and there. The next time you say, I want to see you, you waste this time. Even me, as small as God has helped me to this level, I'm already busy for some people, honestly speaking, because I know that they are not serious. Give a person a chance and he just comes and he's... Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Next, honor your father and your honor. Somebody comes, he's talking to you, his two hands is in his pocket. Just says, there's something I just want you to join faith with me. Let's see what God can do for us. Huh? Next time he's saying, what do you do if your father is too busy for you? Of course, you're supposed to say this. I don't know how, or somebody comes and says, sir, before you start speaking, God has a word for you. This is my daily life, daily experience. You're talking to somebody, and the person says, See, something moves, something just moved. Oh, wow. Well, the next time, be sure. When people give you access to their life, don't misuse it. Life is time, and if a man gives you time, he has given you his life. What do you do? when your father is too busy for you. Repent. Change. Just change. Let me tell you one truth. I know somebody in Kaduna here that dials that the NHS number and he picks one hand. He picks it. Guys, at that first call, he carries it. Yeah, there are people with him at Abuja there. He sees their call and continues signing what he's signing. You can make yourself valuable in the lives of men. You can make them know that you value the little that they gave you. They gave you advice yesterday. You refused to use the advice. You came and said, what should I do? They say, do this. You went to do what is in your own heart. Do you think tomorrow the person will waste time trying to give you counsel? He already knows this. What is in your heart, you always do. Then after you are finished, you now come and say, what do you do if your father is too busy for you? Let me tell you something about following. The person following is the person that is dictating what that experience will be like. It's not the leader, the person who is following. Most times, these things we talk about, sonship, is the son that determines what he sees from the father. That's why you see some parents have favorite children and it's wrong. But when a child begins to touch the root of a father, the father is drawn to that one better than the other one that is just causing headache every time. Anytime there's a challenge in the house, it's this person. Have you heard parents that say, I don't tire for this. Biological child will say, I'm tired. Now imagine somebody who is not your child. The person came and say, God say I should submit. Then the person starts giving you headache. Your father is not your friend. Just separate that one. Keep it aside and let God help you with it. If God gives you a father that is very close to you and you guys are enjoying friendship, thank God for that. But know that deal is never about friendship. So you are going to him to receive instruction, not to go and gist as guys. He tells you something, you say, but sir, don't you think this other way? He says, do this. Say, I know, but this. Tell you something about fathers. If a father speaks and you didn't do the instruction, it will be harder for another instruction to follow. If God says, do this, and you have not done it, and you are saying, God, what next? God will not speak until you have obeyed the previous instruction that he gave concerning your life. Your next instruction is tied to your obedience of the previous instruction. That person that says God is quiet for a while now as regarding your own matter, just check. It could be that he told you something that you ignored him. So he now say, if not silent treatment, more they do ourselves now. I don't know why I love this question of the father and the son. There are sons now that call people their father and the people are not aware that they are submitting. You say he's my father, but you have never gone to him to say, I want to be accountable, to be answerable. Never. You are doing your own thing in one corner. You are saying that he is your father and the person is not aware. Then you cannot claim that the person is busy for you, because he is not treating you as a son yet. There are also fathers that are wicked, self-centered, selfish, just thinking only about themselves. They are not interested in the progress of the child. Is the balance. Just in case you find out that your own is a wicked father, just self-centered, he's not caring. Anything that does not touch him, he's not interested in him. No one. Just pray, gather strength, and put another man and say, God, help me. But if you locate, if God leads you, you will not miss it. And you let me tell you how to pick your father. You can pick your father by how frequent God addresses the issues of your life through that person. Your direction is with him. You just know. You can pick your father by who God brought to your life during your trying times. When everybody abandoned you and ran away. When you had money everywhere, different prophets were texting you and say, God bless you, man of God. I see open doors. You are blessed, my son. You know how many people call me son today? The other day I went somewhere in for the area. And the man was going to just bring me up and he came to tell his people that he is one of my most obedient sons. He's the one that carried my spirit. Really? So just as we have sons who are forcing people to be their father, We also have fathers who are forcing you and saying, you are my son. I don't know that man much, but God knows I've never sat under him before. And he says, I'm one of his real sons. I carry his spirit. What's the difference between fatherhood and mentorship? Very simple. A mentor is somebody who sustains results in areas that you desire. And as much as it pertains to that result, you are receiving spiritual illumination from them and counsel as regarding that result. But a father is accountable. A father is doing a block work. He's laying the bricks line upon line, precept upon precept. He's wedging you from strange appetites. A father has the responsibility to pray for you every time he goes on his own prayer investment. He devotes time for your own well-being. The responsibility of a father is provision for his child, protection, cover. That's what physical fathers are supposed to do, and it flows into the demands of the spirit too. So your mentor can be my Smuru now, because when you read his books, it carries the spirit. But you cannot tell me now that my Smuru is your father in the Lord. Number one, he is no longer in this realm of things. And you may be one of the people that will complain and say he's too busy for you, but he's not even around. I'm saying this now to everybody who have, for some reason or strangely, found themselves to choose or submit to people who they have never met. You say you submitted, but it does not count. And sometimes it's arrogance, it's pride that makes that your deliverance is with you. But you can't. Is there any difference between an intercessor, a watcher, and a gatekeeper? If there is, what is it? The answer is very simple. It's the same thing you are describing in different nomenclatures. It's like saying a security man, a gate man, a megad. Thank you. We are describing the same work duty. We are describing the same responsibility. Gatekeeper, watchman, intercessor. Work duty is the same. It's those who live for the safety and the security of others, who carry weights and burdens that are not necessarily theirs. It's those who are responsible and invested upon by Zion with the responsibility to observe what comes in and what leaves it. Gatekeeper, an intercessor, a watchman, all of them are prayer men of prayer. The reason why they give them that ability to even see is because they have a voice that can respond to what they saw. Zion will not invest any vision on you, any sight, anything for entertainment. Just in case you don't have a good prayer altar, they will not show you anything, because it's a waste. After you see it, you now wake up and say, that's all. They show it to people who they know that their voices are valid in the spirit realm, that through their utterance they can either bind or they can loose. So everybody, purpose is said to be more like impact. There are many unbelievers making impacts in form of philanthropic work, helping the weak and giving joy to humanity. Are they fulfilling purpose? Interesting. Well, let me add very quickly. We did not define purpose as impact. We made it clear that you cannot use the results as a basis to measure the presence of God. So, I can give 50,000 to Pastor Onu right now. And even though I'm Christian, giving that 50,000 to another Christian, it might not count in the spirit realm. Because what they are checking is, why did I give? The spirit realm are not so much interested in your action, but your motive. Why did you do what you did? It could just be that all this while I've been intimidated by him. And I was excited at the time that I saw that he's in need. And me now, this same me that he has been undermining. Am I not the one that helped him which day? That was your motive. You gave in the eyes of men. Ah, what a generous man. See how he helped the needy. Some people just suffered so much when they were small. They were in so much poverty that now the effect of that lack that has cost in them, the scarcity effect, it has made that anytime they relate with their with somebody who is also suffering, give them a sense of achievement. This used to be my pastor. Anything you do that is not powered by love for God and for man, it's not measured as any investment in God. And you have your reward already with men. As they are clapping for you and saying, so person donated 50, that's your reward. You have received it. Just in case we're talking about purpose, purpose is about fulfilling the work of He that sent you. That's not a philanthropy. It's not about philanthropy. The motive. I might even give him that 50,000 for just one reason. Because you guys are here. Just come out and say, I see that we're doing a great work. To support this work, I'm going to give, and these are the people we call the givers of our time. When the silent people who gave without a name attached to it, they are on the background. Nobody ever called them. Yet we are clapping hands for men with questionable motives. Be careful who you call a philanthropist. Be careful who you call a giver. And then be careful what you call impact. It could just be men desperately looking for a sense of importance. And sometimes it's by giving for a cause that they derive that. Self-centered, selfish, self-oriented. It's not powered by the love of God. It's not counted as part of the investment in Zion. Last but not the least, and the most longest, I said a question. This person wrote me. The Holy Spirit guides and teaches. I want to understand why someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit might end up not being wealthy. Most successful people in the world today don't or are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Yet, they thrive more than those filled with the Holy Spirit. Is it that the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal financial knowledge? Must you possess the Holy Spirit to have bodies for Christ? Are you to possess the Holy Spirit? I know I have this strong consciousness, so I want to know why. I am yet to possess the Holy Spirit, but I have this strong consciousness, so I want to know why. When someone receives the gift of the Spirit, does it come in hand with the fruit of the Spirit, or someone must develop it? Sometimes waiting can be in form of wasting. I have fasted, prayed, tried to live as righteously as possible, but never heard God speak. Should I continue? Does His silence mean He is speaking and I am not hearing? I don't know what to do. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for wisdom. And we pray that you answer your child. Give them the answer they require in the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit guides and teaches. I want to understand why someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit end up not being wealthy. Most successful people are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Is it like the Holy Spirit does not reveal knowledge of finances? That's how that question ended. Well, I started this whole discourse by establishing the point that we are living in a broken world. All the foundations are out of course. And I also stated very clearly that the average Christian is welcomed with a default system of disadvantage. However, it's not true. That conclusion, that's not an absolute statement. You can't base, let's say on this side, we see more unrighteous men successful than righteous men. And based on your definition of success is by what degree of finances they have control over. And if I'm going to go by your own definition of success, that's just finance. So let's try and measure just with that scale. If you use that scale alone, you also find many kingdom men also successful. But there is a temptation in this thing. There is a category of people after giving their life to Christ, and a doctrine has been furnished into their soul, that after now, The next thing is heaven. And that do anything you can, just as much as you can, just escape this world. Make sure that your garment is not defiled. So we have a lot of people who say, take the world and just give me Jesus. And why they took the world, they took finances too with it. There are a lot of people that are living their life as though they don't intend to live for the next 10 years. They are living their life as though there's no hope, there's no plan for tomorrow. And it is that kind of posture that makes that you find a Christian, although filled with the Holy Spirit, but he does not commune with the Holy Spirit on matters of his finances. He has sustained a hard posture that God is not much in that. It is, in fact, there is a lie that talks about that money is the root of all evil. And if you check the scripture, it actually said the love of money is the love of money. That's the root of the evil, not the substance itself. So we have enough people who have associated negativity to wealth. You see a very fine car pass, then you say, all these ritualists, they are at it again. You pass by a fine house, you need to, as you saw it, your default mind just say, hey, all these politicians stealing money up and down. Your concept of wealth is that it's only people who are compromised that can be wealthy. And because of that mind restriction, even the Holy Ghost cannot help you. Because you, in your own mind now, is only people who have soiled their hand. They are the ones that can be wealthy. Another person will pass by that good thing and say, wow, wow, God has blessed some people far. That's the person that can be wealthy. So not all Christians have given the room to the Holy Spirit to touch the areas of finance about their life. The Holy Spirit wants to give counselors regarding that matter. But not everybody thinks that wealth is even important. Many people, they are going through pain and they think pain is righteousness and holiness. They think lack is part of holiness. They think the more disconnected you are from the world, that's the more righteous you are. There was a mindset we were running with before. We thought we should wait, let the world start doing something. Then let's start doing the opposite of what the world is doing. That's righteousness. So we are timing. Once the world says the next fashion is pencil trouser, we enter baggy trouser immediately. The opposite of the world, holiness. Now the world, they are living a very cool and lavish life. And we said, take the world and give us only Jesus. But you are still living in the world. So guys, the Holy Ghost gives counselors regarding the matter of finances. It's just that for most times we have blocked and we have created all kinds of limitations as regarding what he can say and what he cannot say. And there are, I know spirit-filled, financially blessed people, many, who are not pastors. I know entrepreneurs. I know them a lot. I know business owners. I know them, so many. I just think it could also reflect and it could also show you the people you are focusing on. The places you draw your examples and your reference from. Maybe the people you are interfacing with the most. And of course, the list of successful people you have is based upon those your association. From this side, we too, we know a lot of rich kingdom people. Stinkingly rich, like blessed. We know them. And they continue to tell us that they trace it back to the Holy Spirit. So it's not true that people who are wealthy are not filled with the Holy Spirit. That position is already an attempt by the fallen cherub to make you feel like the Holy Spirit is not that big of a deal. Just in case you are hearing something I did not say. I'm not saying the Holy Ghost is coming to improve your finances. He has more important business than your finance. But part of the things that will jack up when you are truly with him, even your finances will reflect on it. Lust too will be destroyed by the Holy Spirit. And for sometimes you will find out. In case he vets your life and he finds out there are proclivities and tendencies just hiding, waiting for the right financial power to express themselves. There were men that became cheats. They became polygamists just because money entered their hand. There were people who were very faithful husbands, very loving husbands, until God blessed them. All of a sudden, the woman they said, "I love you" to yesterday, now she's not fine for them again. There were people who were busy drinking their kunu quietly, enjoying their life. God now blessed them. Now it's alcoholic wine. What's wrong with Zubu? People were not drinking. They were not drinking until extra change started entering their hand. Then because the money is too much, they now started thinking of what to be done. The value of your soul is more important to God than resources that will enter your hand. And if he vets your proclivities and he finds out that you have tendencies of departure, if things go like this, can I share something with you? Money and time are both revealers. Money can reveal who you truly are. You don't know whether you can bounce until you have something in your pocket. Your work, you can slap somebody for nothing and say, "Take money." A friend of mine told me that once God bless him, there's one man, you go and slap him and dash him money. That it's just the feeling in his heart. That's who he is. Now you might see him working as a gentle brother, but there's no humility in him. His hardship that made him look gentle like that. Have you seen how poverty can mold a man into a holy man? He's respecting everybody. The day God... For some people, the only way to save their soul is to make sure that which would take them out of the path never come for them. It was one of the patriarchs of old that said, "Don't give me too much. And don't give me too little. Give me only as much as I require, so that I will not eat and forget you." Solomon, he looked at what money could do to his soul. And just in case you have also joined the clique of people who think the utmost aim of God is so that you prosper and you enjoy. The utmost aim of God is to reveal himself to you and then give you an eternal inheritance after this life. So if your finances is getting in the way, if finance can make you not align, that finance, they'll block it. And they'll make you walk in that holy manner until that thing that you were to become real. Another man can be on an express way to hell. Give them physically. Must you possess the Holy Spirit to have bodies for Christ? I know what this person is dealing with here, because I know what this person is trying to say. What this person is trying to say is that he is born again, but he has not received the Holy Spirit yet. But he finds a body in him. It's because the church has taught us to believe that the presence of the Holy Spirit is the power of the Holy Spirit. These are two different courses in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes inside you the day you receive Jesus. The Bible says he called his disciples and breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He gave them the Holy Spirit. Then he now told them, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with" what? Power, not the Holy Spirit again. Power. These are two different schemes of work. What you are calling the Holy Ghost is power you are calling the Holy Spirit. Because the day you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. You got born again into a spirit clan, and a spirit of God came into you, and that spirit cries, "Abba, Father," from you. So that spirit that enters you, that is the Holy Spirit that entered you. What you are trying to use as your basis is the power of the Holy Spirit. But those two things are different baptisms. There's a baptism that gives you the person, but there's another baptism that gives you his bounties, the power, the Holy Spirit. So you say you are seeing that you have a body, but you don't have the Holy Spirit. Let me correct your question. You have the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit came with his body inside you. Now your challenge is that the power of that Spirit to furnish that body out, to express the body, is what you are lacking. So don't allow any spirit or anything tell you that you don't have the Holy Spirit. You have it. He's in you. He's the Spirit of God that came inside you. But there is a difference between the power of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. this will take me to answer your other question. The fruits of the Holy Spirit is different from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is what I'm talking. The gifts are power oriented. The fruit is person oriented. The person living inside you begins to, it's like a mango tree producing his fruit. The person begins to produce his fruit through your life. The fruit is about relationship. The gift is about manifestation. The gift is power oriented. The fruit is relationship oriented. Sometimes waiting can be in form of wasting. I have fasted, prayed, tried to live as righteous as possible as I can, but never heard God speak. Should I continue? Yes, continue. Do his silence means he is speaking and I am not hearing? There are two things that are responsible for waiting or delays about the things we ask God for. Number one, it could just be that what you are asking is not his will yet for you. And then number two, it could be that compromise. His hands are not too short. Scripture says, but our iniquity has separated us from him. It could be that you should check yourself again. Maybe you should check the motive of why you are asking for what you ask for. The truth is, any withdrawal you want to make in Zion, that God is not the signature, will not clear it. So just in case you are looking for a child, what Zion will release that child for is, Lord, give me a child so that he can do your work. Not so that my neighbor will not laugh at me again. That thing that you said there is why the check will bounce. When you submit it to the counter of heaven, and they now see that you want to withdraw so that you can buy a hill, a high hill. No, for what? Say, Lord, how long shall the other wife be laughing at me? Go and ask Anna. She has been praying that prayer for a long time. One day she came before Shiloh and she changed her prayer point. No longer about, Lord, look at Penina. Now the prayer is, Lord, give me and I will give it back to you. God says, wow, it's my own need. And the Bible says after Samuel, she conceived other children. Womb did not open for Samuel alone. God left it open for her to have her own. In case God is silent, just check. Maybe. Most times, that thing you are doing is for is yourself. When they trace it, who did this thing pay? It's him. Let's thank God for his wisdom tonight. Somebody says, what is the meaning of anakazo? Well, I'm very glad the person did not ask this question physically of the place. Anakazo means the compelling power of the Holy Spirit. That's the meaning of anakazo. The compelling power of the Holy Spirit. It's not English oriented. That's why it sounds funny. If it's going to be English, would have just said the compelling power of the Holy Spirit, international ministry. But it will be too long. So we just compressed it. Anakazo. So if you are coming, what you are coming to experience is this dimension of God, his compelling power, his ability to force things into existence. Let's bow our heads and thank God. Make sure you are talking to God.
Continue talking to God. God has blessed us. God has imparted us. Open your mouth and pray it and say, Father, these wisdoms that proceed from the bowels of your servant, let these wisdoms manifest in my life in diverse ways, in diverse forms. A wisdoms come out. If he sees there's an expression of wisdoms as he answers the questions, a lot of wisdom come out to help us in our daily activities, help us in our daily endeavors. Open your mouth and say, Father, give me the grace that I will abide to carry out the instructions of Zion, that I will carry out the ordinations that are bestowed upon my lives. Open your mouth and pray at this moment.
Glory to God. We trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anacazomissioninternational.ami or join us on our Telegram channel at Anacazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.